David.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Kerry joins us once again. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Sean.
Here's your first question. My oldest son turned 7 this summer and is scared of going anywhere by himself in the house day or night. This has been ongoing for over 2 years and did not start at any particular incident but seems to be getting more pronounced. I'm worried this is some form of anxiety. We're at a point that he will not walk past an open door to another room or go to the bathroom unless I am in his line of sight, or if he has a 6-year-old brother goes with him. I'm totally baffled as he is otherwise an outgoing child, very physically active and doing superbly in school. When I ask, he says he's afraid of bad things happening but won't talk much about it. We're pretty much a screen-free house as they watch some regular TV at the weekend, but there is not a graphic influence on his imagination. He reads a lot and is currently reading The Hobbit, which is fantastical but does contain any scenarios that would account for this behaviour. Is it all just imagination? I'm a solo parent and would love if the boys could go to friends for sleepovers, but my son is too scared to be in other people's houses, especially at night. I'd love some advice, please.
You've waited 2 years? That's a long time to watch a child develop anxiety on top of anxiety on top of anxiety, because it's like a snowball rolling downhill. It gathers speed, it gathers mass, it gathers density. I don't know why you've waited so long to even ask the question. You need to go to your GP. You need to present what the issue is. Ask the GP to talk to your little boy. He has anxiety that is interfering significantly with aspects of his life. That is socialization, ability to go to other people's homes, and, of course, severe difficulties navigating the family home. Don't leave this unattended any longer, please. Let's get something done about this. I've said this so many times on the air. Of all mental health difficulties, anxiety is the easiest to treat, the most responsive to particular interventions. And if you catch it early enough, it can be dealt with expeditiously. 4 to 8 visits, maybe 10, it's hard to say. We have real protocols for the treatment of anxiety in children this age. He can be helped. Now it's time to move and stop fussing over things like The Hobbit or being a screen-free house, etc. All of that is largely irrelevant at this point in time. Get your son some help.
Okay, it sounds to you like a pretty much cut and dried anxiety.
Yeah, it does sound that way to me. Now, look, I don't know the boy. I don't know more details than have been sent in to us. So I can't make a definitive conclusion, of course, and I'm not diagnosing this fellow. But I do know this, since we receive huge numbers, and any clinician is going to tell you this, Sean, huge numbers of referrals for children with anxiety difficulties, sometimes genuine anxiety disorders, sometimes just highly anxious children.
Yeah.
And it really can interfere with their lives. And treatment can be very quick, very expeditious, and extremely successful 90% of the time.
Right. Okay.
So, waiting 2 years is just insane. I don't get it. Parents, we've said this before, too. The question parents ask, when should I ask for help if I'm concerned about my child? The answer is simple. When you're concerned about your child, ask for help.
Yes.
Go to a GP. Don't get on Google, for God's sakes. Google is the worst enemy to parents who are looking for information about childhood difficulties. Talk to your GP. Get a referral if necessary. Now, you may have a long waiting list if you're going through the public sector, unfortunately, and then you may need to look at the private sector, depending on the severity of the issue. But don't leave it alone. Don't try to guess. You're not a clinician. You're not a mental health expert. You're a loving, concerned parent. Be that and do the job the right way. Ask for help. Get some help.
Now, as you pointed out, this has been going on for 2 years. And in the case of anxiety, if you do leave it, the longer you leave it, does it get worse? Does it deepen like a coastal shelf, as Philip Larkin
said? Yes, exactly. It can, and very often does, but not always. But anxiety is something that can generalize. Like this young fellow has his anxiety confined to the family home.
Yeah.
He won't go on sleepovers. He's becoming a little bit socially anxious as well. That can get worse. Now, I don't know if it will or it won't. The point is he's in distress, so let's get him some help. If left untreated, it doesn't bode well. It just doesn't go away on its own.
Mm.
I mean, you will meet thousands of adults who are anxious and tell you, yeah, I was a very anxious child too.
Yeah.
Anxiety disorders, if we're talking about a clinical syndrome, are about 80% heritable anyway. So children who are born to parents who have genuine anxiety disorders or extremely high levels of anxiety are at greater risk for developing the same condition themselves, in addition to which children are always observing their parents, watching for facial expressions, bodily language, listening to what they say. If you're an anxious mom or dad and you're verbalizing your anxiety, you're worrying about this, that, or the other, or you're fretting at night and you look sad and unsettled, your child will pick that up.
Mm.
That doesn't mean they catch it from you.
Yes, but they will pick it up as a way of being.
Yes.
On that subject, I'm wondering about the effects of arguing with my partner in front of our two-year-old. My own parents separated when I was very young, and so I have no memory of living with two parents or experience of what normal parent arguing is. Obviously, big serious arguments are discussed and should be kept from children, but what about bickering about who was the last load of laundry on or being angry at coming home late from work? This might seem so obvious to some, but I'm not sure if I should be keeping all disagreements from my child, or is it natural and okay to bicker in front of children?
Some bickering is okay.
Hmm.
So long as it's followed by resolution to the conflict.
Yeah.
Because modeling is really important. Now, the nature of relationships is we don't always get along like we're just lovey-dovey, you know? We do have our little differences and our disagreements. That's normal. It's healthy. If it happens in front of the children some of the time, no damage done. If it's caustic and vitriolic with a lot of horrible words, that is damaging to children. But if you have an argument and the children happen to hear it, then all you and your partner can do is try to solve your argument, then maybe go to the children and say, sure, you heard Daddy and Mommy last night. We were a bit upset. Something happened. We got annoyed at each other. But we talked about it. We solved our problem, and everything's fine now, honey.
Mm.
And that sends a really powerful message, particularly the we talked about it part. So if you can manage all of that, you don't have a lot to worry about.
Yeah. And it's probably equally important that parents see, or that kids see their parents kissing and hugging and laughing. And
oh, God, you don't want to see your parents kissing,
oh,
do you?
Oh, you do, yeah.
Oh, yuck.
Wearing the faces off each other.
That is important.
Celine says, I have a lot of memories of my parents going at one another. I have distinct memories of the fighting that would be done in the car when I was about 5 or 6 and how loud it was in such a small place. I've never told them I remember these so well, though, says Celine. So, yeah.
They last a lifetime, these memories.
They do, yeah. My child has periodic limb movement disorder. We are waiting to see a neurologist, which could take a year. He is 3 and twitching, which wakes him a lot. He never gets to a deep sleep. He falls out of bed if he wakes in a startle. Has David any recommendations for a restful sleep while we wait? He's very tired in the day due to so much waking. Oh, the poor little fella.
That's awful. First, I don't know a lot, in fact, very nearly anything about periodic limb movement disorder. So I can't give you specific advice. I would suggest, however, some breathing exercises, some relaxation exercises, some mental imagery exercises. Now, this child, do we know how old he is? No.
3.
Oh, 3.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you can play some quiet music at bedtime. You can read him a little story. You can ask him to close his little eyes, if it's a him or her, it doesn't matter, and imagine a very nice, peaceful scene. Maybe if you know what the child likes outdoors, for example.
Mm.
Does the child prefer to be in a meadow or by a stream or at the beach or whatever? And you say, now bring yourself in your mind's eye, in your imagination, out to the beach, and it feels warm. And feel the sun on your skin. Feel the wind blow. Hear the sound of the waves. Children are natural hypnotic subjects and take very quickly and easily to these kind of relaxation and imagery suggestions. So I would suggest that. Whether or not that's going to help with this condition, I don't know, to be honest. In general, those are good suggestions for children who have some difficulty falling asleep or who awaken several times in the middle of the night, maybe distressed. So try it and see what happens. It's unfortunate you have to wait a year for a pediatric neurologist, but that's the system here is not so great.
It's not so great. Now, okay, we do have to take a commercial break after that. Problems with a daddy's girl. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. David Carey's still with us. Next question is, we have an 8-year-old daughter. She's a real daddy's girl. She's always comparing my wife to me. My wife can do nothing right, it would seem, and she's always arguing with her. It's strange as I'm the one who's the most strict with her. My wife really takes this to heart and gets upset about it. My wife does homework with her and doesn't have much time for playing as she's so busy. Any help would be great. P.S. She's very strong-minded. My daughter, not my wife.
Well, two questions. One, what are you doing about it? Because your daughter is disrespecting your wife.
Yeah.
And that is not acceptable. And you need to step in and you need to be very firm and let her know that her mother is her mother, loves her very much. She will treat her mother, talk to her mother, and deal with her mother exactly as she deals with you. No ifs, ands, or buts, or there will be consequences. Give her something to think about. Second, despite the fact that your wife is very busy, no parent should ever be too busy to have opportunities to play with the child, to take the child somewhere. This is Christmas season. No better time for a mommy-daughter break into city center or town center, wherever you live, even the shopping mall, dare I say. Mooch around, have some fun. Let's have a hot chocolate. Let's look at all the decorations, blah, blah, blah. In other words, mother-daughter time is really important here. Mm. You can't step out of this, Mom, and I'm not saying you do. It must be very defeating for the mother to be observing this happening. And I think, Dad, you really have to step in here now.
Yeah. Kids will do that, though. They play one off against the other all the time.
It's the natural order of children, divide and conquer. And
absolutely.
That's why I say so often, send we messages. Your mother and I or your father and I will discuss this. We will let you know what the answer is. Child wants X, Y, or Z. I'll talk about it with Dad. I'll talk about it with Mom. We'll let you know what the answer is. If it's a punishment that's required, you don't always have to implement it right there on the spot. When Mommy comes home, we're going to discuss what you did, and we're going to sit down with you and let you know what the consequences are. That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
Shut up. Walk away. Don't turn back. What happens? You turn into a pillar of salt if you turn back and look.
Because children, yes.
Dad, step up here now, Dad.
They're all little Robin McGabby's children, really, playing one off against the other. I'm writing to you about my 21-year-old daughter who suffers from depersonalization. Symptoms of her condition include feeling she is floating outside her body, feeling unreal, living in a dream and not a happy one. These symptoms started about the age of 11 for no apparent reason, also experiencing depression, anxiety and panic attacks throughout her teenage years. She has found some help from her GP, local child psychiatric services, and more recently from Dean's Clinic with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. She's on a small amount of medication for her condition. Unfortunately, her symptoms still persist. Her condition can be very distressing. As a parent, I find it very scary to feel that my daughter is suffering and has not been able to find relief. She now experiences her unreal life 24/7. I'm wondering if you or any of our listeners know of anyone who has suffered from depersonalization and could help my daughter cope.
Well, I think we'll ask some of the listeners perhaps to text in and see if they can offer some help. There are support groups such as Aware for Depression. Reaching out to support groups may be helpful for your daughter. Depersonalization is often a symptom of abuse in early years in life. She's in treatment at Dean Clinic at St. Patrick's Institution. Good. She should stay there. And if they will communicate with you, which they may not because she's 21, they may not even want to accept a phone call from you.
Yes.
But if they will, you can explain what you are observing, what you see your daughter doing, because that can be helpful sometimes because clinicians don't often get the full picture. Now, once you're over 18, we are not allowed or permitted to speak with anyone else about you without your consent. That includes parents.
Yeah.
Very frustrating for parents, but nonetheless, those are the rules. Mm. So I don't know what will happen if this mom tries to bring up the Dean Clinic. Maybe ask your daughter if she can, if you and her can go in for a meeting with her psychiatrist together.
Yeah.
And if daughter consents, that will open up all kinds of doors, and your job in a meeting like that is just to tell what you see and express your concern, and then perhaps quietly excuse yourself, because that's really all you're there for, to divulge what you're seeing. That can be really helpful for the clinician, because they get a glimpse in a person's life, an hour, 2 hours. It may be a day program. I don't know what program she's in there. But there's a lot happening everywhere else, and you may never know about it unless someone tells you. I think what you need to do is ask daughter, can I go in for a meeting with you, to your clinician? That could be the psychiatrist, psychologist, whoever may be monitoring her care as the key person. And hopefully that will open up some avenues of better treatment and better outcome.
I'm writing because my 5-year-old daughter has developed a blinking tic. She's a twin with a dominating sister. She's had it for about 5 weeks now, and it seems to be getting worse. She's a sensitive child, and we are unsure if this is stress-related. She started school in September, and while she loves it, the day is long until 3:20 p.m. She was initially clingy to me, but has settled in well. Her sister is very outgoing, always takes things from her, and bosses her around. It's very upsetting to watch her ticking all the time. I really would appreciate some advice.
Well, interesting. Interesting. Talk to the bossy daughter.
Yeah.
And let's cut this out. The job of the sibling is to be nice and kind to their brothers and sisters. Argy-bargy is to be expected. But when it becomes chronic and caustic, parents need to move in. Do nothing about the tic. It more likely than not will just disappear. Is it stress-related? Could be, because there's so much tension. She's in school at age 5. Do I have that right? Yeah, 5-year-old girl. She's in school till 3:20 p.m.
That is a long day.
What school is this?
Yeah.
That's not a national school, because the day of the junior and senior infants, well, junior infants anyway, they're out at 1:30. So I don't get that. The school day may be a bit fatiguing for her. That's a lot of school for a 5-year-old. But I think you need to deal with the other daughter.
Yeah.
Who's antagonizing and hurting with words and perhaps actions her sister.
Yeah, and they're twins as well. You'd think there'd be more, but then again,
never. You can have one can be personality is always different, you know.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the DNA may be the same, you have the dominant one and you have the more submissive one. You got to rein in the dominance.
A couple of suggestions on the little boy who has that neurological condition where he can't actually sit quite still. Magnesium is a natural muscle relaxant, helps improve sleep, can be hard on the stomach, so investigate suitable levels for small children, says one texter. Somebody else says maybe try a weighted blanket for 3-year-old boys. Certainly that's I know myself, that's something that's suggested if you have a toddler or around 2 or 3 and they're not sleeping that well, but they're really expensive if you kind of look them up on the internet, so you can actually rig one up yourself.
Yeah.
It's just they feel more kind of cozy that way, and they can't kick off the blankets.
I'm concerned about these kind of suggestions, because this, insofar as we know, is a genuine neurological condition.
Yeah.
To begin pumping magnesium into a young child or to use weighted blankets may be contraindicated. Talk to your physician and see if there has to be an expert out there somewhere who can advise you on this.
Yeah.
Maybe get in touch with a pediatrician. I know it falls in the realm of pediatric neurology. We don't have a lot of pediatric neurologists in the country, so that's why the wait list is very long.
Oh, dear.
But I would advise against well-intentioned but rather simplistic solutions when there's a genuine medical condition involved here. Check it out first. Get consent, and then do it.
Yeah.
Don't just do it and think, oh, this is going to be the right thing to do.
Jared says, this is going back to arguing in front of the kids. Jared says, I learned a lot from my parents on how to argue, but also how to make up and how you should never go to bed angry. It helped me to see them go through the hard times and good. I now know that with my wife, we will always come out on the other side. I feel like I'm writing a lifetime gushy movie, but here, but it's the truth, says Jared as he rides off into the sunset.
Well done, Jared.
David, thanks for being coming into us. David Carey there. We're going to take a break. After that is Europe Fracturing.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering. Recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie.